Hey friends, let me tell you what it is that I want. I want to live in a community that celebrates diversity, uniqueness, that looks out for the underdog, that helps out people who otherwise don't usually get invited to a place at the table. I want to live in a community where people can be their authentic selves and not have to mask, put on airs, you know, do the phony chit-chat. I want to live in a world where we're allowed to have different opinions, where we can go through tough things and come out the other side, not necessarily perfect and Instagram worthy, but come out a little messy and broken, but with lessons to share so that we can help out the next person that we meet. I really wanted to create this podcast so that we had a space to talk to the people who have really influenced me and given me a positive alternative to a way of thinking that I may not have had before. My name is Stacy. I'm otherwise known as the Willow Jack Mama, and I've got three boys, two of which are twins who both have severe autism. And, you know, we've gone through a lot of tough stuff, and I'm doing it as a single mom right now, and I've needed a lot of support along the way. So in this podcast, what I hope to do is to interview people who have gone through tough stuff themselves, whether they've, you know, met circumstances they weren't expecting, whether they made tough decisions because they were not okay with where they were previously in life, or where, frankly, they've just made a choice to improve. Those people really inspire me, and I turn to them often when I'm feeling stuck. And I thought that if I could have chats with them on this podcast, then other people might learn from their experience as well. So I hope you join me. Every Thursday, we hope to drop a new episode where I'll be interviewing just an everyday person who's got some great stories to share. I'll also be sharing a little bit about my own journey and about the experiences that we've encountered along, you know, the last 18 years or so with my boys. We'll talk a little bit about autism, disability, caregiving, parenting, mental health, wellness, and life changes, big life changes. So please join us every Thursday. If you've been listening up till now, thank you so much for your support. And if you've got the time, drop us a like or a share or leave us a review. It helps us so much so that we can continue to do this. All right. Hope you enjoy what you hear. Bye-bye. Hi, friends, and thank you for coming back to the Choose Your Own After podcast. You're here for the second part of my chat with Victoria, who is also known as the Good Witch of the Six. So if you haven't had a chance yet, you've got to go back and listen to part one. I think that was episode 13, where we talked to Victoria and learned a little bit about her and the challenges that she's gone through to get to where she is now. And who she is now is a psychic medium. And in this episode, we get to chat all about all the stuff that comes with that. She explains a little bit what her gifts are and helps us understand a little bit about the business. And oh my gosh, I just love this stuff. So I really hope you enjoy it. I had a lot of fun with this one. Let's get right to it. Okay. Have a listen. Talk to you soon. Hey, Victoria.
Hi.
We're back.
We are.
We are back, and I can't fake it. I have to say we've been talking for about 15 minutes already.
absolutely.
With an interruption from Will, my son, who wanted to talk to you about magic as well. So I can't pretend this is like the first moment that we spoke to each other.
I mean, it Sorry. Was the highlight of my night, though. I'm not going to lie.
Well, there you go. Well, you are invited to join us for the magic show. Don't forget.
Our shared love of magic.
Oh, my gosh. I'm worried that he thinks that someone's going to get sawed in half. That's the thing I'm most worried about. So We'll see. I don't know which episode he saw of The Simpsons. I just think that he saw something on television and now he's obsessed with magic. And he also is insisting that I find a top hat and a cape and a wand so he can wear it to the show.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. He's been known to storm a stage or two at shows, so we'll see what happens. Oh my gosh. No, not fun. Anyway, so we are really excited. This is part two of our conversation, Victoria. We had one last week where we got to dive in, and I still can't believe how much you shared. I'm really grateful. I hope that you're feeling good about it.
Yeah, I actually had a few people reach out, that some close to me, some not, who weren't aware of my story and had some really kind feedback and said that it's helped them in some of the things they're going through. So
great.
That in itself made it so worth it. So
good. Good. Yeah. And you know, I feel like it's a nice platform in many ways where you kind of get to put it out into the universe. You have a lot of people have so much worry that everybody's going to talk about it, everybody's going to know about it, but really it's just a handful of people, but you know that you've put it out there and it no longer feels like a secret in some ways, you know?
Yes.
So, well, I'm glad. So this week, we were going to continue on with our conversation and talk a little bit more about the fun stuff and the not so heavy stuff. Yeah. Well, I think it's fun. I wonder, I know that this is not fun for everyone. Some people, obviously, I'm sure, seek you out because they come with a lot of grief and come with a lot of tough stuff that they're working through. But we're here to talk about your psychic ability. So and I'm excited. So I thought where an easy place we could kind of build from is in our last conversation, you told us a bit about how your psychic, not abilities, grew, I guess, but your knowledge of even having them kind of grew from the time that you were a child into your young adulthood, I guess, and that your mother really supported you and helped fill in some of the questions that you had along the way. So maybe you can kind of build on that and tell us a little bit more about how that grew for you.
Sure. So I will start with the fact that I am a third generation psychic medium for those who might have missed the first episode. So my grandmother was a well-known psychic medium. My mother has the gift. I do as well. And then there are some other family members that have a different variation of it or have the same or similar gift. So, I mean, I personally believe that everybody is psychic, but some of us are just born with such a strong ability that we don't need to put any effort into figuring it out, which is kind of how my story started. So from probably around 2 years old or so, I would point out that I could see people that weren't there. I would talk about things I would see or people that I would see. But it was probably around, say, between 4 and 5 that I got scared of it and would start coming to my mom and asking for her help. So initially when I was super little, my mom completely turned it off for me. She was like, I don't even fully know how she did it, but she basically told spirit to leave me alone. I wasn't sleeping. I wasn't functioning. And then naturally, you know, you let that barrier down for a while and they try to creep back in. So this is probably towards like, I'd say between 10 years old and 13 is when it started coming in heavy again. And one of the first things that I realized was I had a dream about one of Paul Bernardo's victims.
Oh boy.
For anyone who doesn't know, that is a very well-known rapist serial killer from the GTA. So one of his victims actually came to me in a dream and gave me a warning. And I remember I woke up and I told my mom, I said, I think I had a dream about somebody who's really dead. And she's like, what are you talking about? And I explained what it was. And she's like, I know who that is, and pulled her up on Google for me. And it scared the life out of me. And I was like, why did I dream that? And I kind of had all these questions for her. So she explained again, like, you know, how it worked for her mom, how it works for her, how it's working for me. We talked about how to set boundaries up so that they just come to me in my sleep and I don't see them when I'm awake because I was terrified.
Yeah.
And she really kind of helped guide me through setting up my initial boundaries. And then also understanding certain messages, because I'd be like, I kept dreaming. I've had 4 dreams about, I don't know, say like a turtle being eaten. And she'd be like, oh, that actually means this, this, and this. And I'm like, how do you know all this? but for her, like, she found it from her mom. And it comes with time and with, you know, having that either like a mentor or having somebody above you that can help guide you through it. Nowadays, we do have the internet so that you can find resources, you can purchase resources that help break down certain messages that are kind of universal.
It's so interesting because it sounds a lot like when you think of the indigenous kind of mm-hmm. traditions and storytelling and how gifts are passed down. And there is a lot of, you know, stories of totems and, you know, I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on that, but yes. it does sound very similar, you know?
Yeah. And I also am a firm believer too. And I always say, I'll never preach my own beliefs because I think each individual human experience is just that.
Yeah.
And with that, what you're allowed to know about the other side or how it works may vary either based upon what your enlightenment is or what your soul is kind of capable of handling, because your higher self knows better. And if there's information that's going to make you spiral, they're most likely not going to tell you.
Right.
And there's lots of people that, like my sister, for example, I know she's very gifted in this, but it scares her. And every time she tries, it's like I can see her higher self shuts it down. They're like, she's not a soul that can handle it yet, so we're not going to push her.
So fascinating.
Yeah. So when it comes to even different backgrounds, like I also find there's a lot of similarities in even like Hindu backgrounds and Buddhism. And there's a lot of these sort of similar learning from your elders in certain practices. And I say, like, I find them all to be accurate based upon who you are, your human experience, and what your afterlife is going to be.
So interesting. I want to know so much. I want to know so much. And okay. And actually, I've got 2 little questions just came out of that. Did your mother and grandmother share their gifts with people that they didn't know, like as a, I'm not necessarily a profession, or did they just keep it within your family life?
So my mom's mom was a very well-known psychic medium. She had clients in the States. I believe she had a few famous people. And that was her job, to my knowledge. She passed away before I was born. So I get my kind of my bits and pieces because she passed when my mom was 22.
Oh, wow.
So it's been quite some time. Yeah. And then for my mom, it was like she came into her gift a little bit later. It was after her mom passed. Like, my mom always knew that she could see people and could talk to people, but never read people.
Right.
And after her mom passed is when she kind of started coming out with that more. And for her, it was more like a friend of a friend would hear that my mom knew things or could know things. So they would message my mom and my mom would help them. Or my mom, I remember once we were actually at a Curves gym signing up for a membership together. And she just started accidentally reading the owner. And we were there for like 3.5 hours. But we got 50% off our membership, which was fantastic. Not that we asked for it, but yeah. It was just their way of thanking us. I was like, well, that's nice.
Yeah.
But, my mom is that psychic that would walk up to the random person in the like bingo hall or in an elevator and tell them things. That was more her kind of experience with it. And then again, she'd have the odd client here and there, based upon like word of mouth or people saying like, please read me.
Right. Begging. Heard,
yeah. Yeah. So they had very different experiences even themselves.
Gotcha. And then when you talked about the fact that when you were younger, you actually saw things, mm-hmm. I think you've referenced to me in the past, or you might have even mentioned in the last part one of the podcast, that now it just kind of comes to you as a voice. So I didn't realize that you could actually see things as well. Or can you still?
I still can. I try to set the boundary of like, do not show up as a human being in my face, because I will jump.
Right.
Every once in a while, they still do it. And it's usually if I'm not paying attention. If I'm missing something during a reading, you'll hear me. If we're not doing a video chat, we're just over the phone, you'll hear me go, or like,
right.
You drop a bunch of things. And I'm like, oh. Someone just popped up. So now I use all of my clairs, and I use certain ones, and we can go into what the clairs are.
Yeah.
But usually if I want to know if a spirit's there, I ask them to present themselves in my third eye as like a little orb.
Okay.
And then sometimes I get no little orbs. I get nothing. And I just hear my own inner monologue telling me stuff. Because it doesn't always sound like an external person either. It usually just sounds like the voice in my head.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah. You talked about that. It's so crazy to me. So I looked up a little bit myself just to understand the difference between the four clairs. So if we could go through them. So there's clairvoyance, which would be visions and seeing images or people. Mm-hmm. And then clairaudience is what I have written down. That's so that's
clear hearing.
Hearing. And then you tell me, because I don't want to mispronounce the next two.
Oh, I know. The other ones are hard. So there's clairsentience or clairsentience. Yes. People say it both ways. Both are correct.
Okay.
And that is like clear feeling. So that could be physically feeling someone's illness or feeling somebody's energy. So that's clear feeling. And then there's claircognizance. And that's clear knowing. And that is the hardest one to explain. And that is my best clair. So it always confuses people.
Gosh. And I guess that was what I was getting at, is that those last two seem to be, to me, because I don't have them, I guess. They seem to be one and the same, but I guess they're not. So,
right. So
one is just that you know it without knowing how you know it, because you don't have personal experience, but suddenly you know.
Yeah. So because I'm clair cognizant, that is my strongest clair. That's how I mainly read people. It almost feels like I've read a book about the person before I've met them.
Okay.
Or it will be like, I'm talking to you and I'm like, oh, they said da, 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 da. In actuality, nobody said anything. I've heard nothing in my head, and it just comes out of my mouth that way.
Right.
And once I say it, you'll hear me sometimes go, oh, and I react after as if it's the first time hearing it, because it technically is.
Okay. Okay.
Or trying to explain that during a reading's hard. So I usually say, oh, I heard.
Right.
But I didn't
so
really hear.
Confusing. And do each of those, because I would imagine that this clairsentience or whatever it is, that would be the most energy, you know, depleting for you. Would that be the case, or are they all the same?
They all affect me in different ways, but clairsentience or clairsentience, that is where a lot of people are, that's where our empaths come from. That's that part of that gift. Right. So that's feeling and taking in other people's emotions and, you know, whether that's a high or a low. So that can be that, you know, when you're in a crowd for a long time or you've just been working with a difficult person all day and you feel drained.
Oh, absolutely.
That's because it's affecting you're using your clairsentience to connect with them.
Right.
And it's funny because I will touch on this a little bit too. A lot of people are mislabeled as empaths. And it's because I think empath is becoming a very trendy sort of
word. It is. Oh, totally.
And it's really difficult because to be a true empath, you can look at a serial killer and feel sorry for them.
Right.
Because you can understand the complex side of things. Or you could be, you know, in the middle of an argument with your partner and you feel the absolute worst you've ever felt. They've brought you down so hard. But then at the same time, you're going to stop to console them because you can feel their emotions.
We might need to have a conversation after this recording, because I feel like I touch on, and I'm not trying to take ownership of that, but I do have a problem in this area. And I often wonder how much of it comes from being a mom to the specific boys that I have.
Because you have to be an empath in that regard.
Right.
Because if they're, especially when we're lacking verbal communication or even physical like signs, you got to feel their energy. You got to just figure out what's going on. And a lot of people say like, I'm an empath with pride. And I'm like, 9 times out of 10, being an empath is super difficult, and it's a lack of boundaries, and it can be absolutely exhausting and hard on your own life. Yeah. So I never brag about being an empath. It's a blessing and a curse, but it's you, if you don't have control over your boundaries of when you use it and when you don't, it's a definite curse.
Right. It might be a blessing for the other people, but it's certainly not for that person.
And a lot of these people will get caught up in very toxic, manipulative relationships because they can see the hurt coming from the person who's traumatizing them.
Right. Right.
And it creates a vicious circle. So I tell people often when they're like, I'm an empath, I'm like, I would really reconsider. You might be an intuitive person and you might be a kind person. You might be an empathetic person,
Right.
but does not make you an empath.
Or a really sensitive person. Or
Yeah. There's levels to it. If you don't have to be an empath, don't try.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I hear you. Another question I had in that too, when you were talking about setting boundaries and the Paul Bernardo, and I don't want to get too into that case because I have a lot to talk about on that one too. But how would it happen then? Because I guess I just assumed that if you're wide open, you don't have boundaries at all set yet, and that it all comes to you. I guess I just kind of imagined that it all would come to you based on your proximity to, you know, people that are impacted or that you live in that geographical area or that you're facing someone or touching something. So how would it happen that you got that message?
It's actually funny because she came to me to warn me about a possible predator.
Okay.
And what's funny was this happened, I believe I was 10. When I go back in time, it's like I was about 10 years old, no older than 11.
Right.
And I, like, in the dream, she was tiny. She was warning me that this could happen to me and that I had to be careful. And about when I was 12 years old, 12 turning 13, there was actually an incident with a older gentleman who was a sex offender. And fortunately I used very good judgment in that circumstance and I got myself away, and they still had some predatory acts towards a friend of mine who was involved in the situation. But like I said, first podcast we skimmed. But like that took me probably until about 2 or 3 years ago to realize that that dream was about that person.
Okay.
So I think that she came to me in particular to warn me about something that was going to happen. And that was just one of the spirits that were allowed to come. Like I've never received any messages from somebody from a different country or any other significant like victims, notable of crimes. Victims. Yeah.
Right.
Recently though, I did have a very intense message come to me and I ended up doing a meditation to find answers. And I'm working right now with my mom, trying to see who we can contact because I was given an area where some Indigenous bodies lay, some children.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, we're working right now to figure out who we can contact and to see if it's accurate, because what they showed me, I was able to find a pinpointed location on Google. So hopefully that's going to get resolved as well. But
do some good.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Okay. Oh, this is so interesting. All right. So then if we've kind of covered what the clairs are and what your focus is. So when then we talk about what psychic ability actually is, you know, I've heard different pieces. For example, if you're out shopping for a psychic, quote unquote, shopping for a psychic, you have some that'll say, oh no, I don't look into the future at all. I only do readings with people who've passed, or I have premonitions about the future, or some that'll say, I don't do any of that. I can just read cards and give you yes or no answers based on, you know, so how do you kind of, or can you break down what you have knowledge about and what your, I'll let you do that.
So psychic is like an umbrella term of many different areas of like spirituality and working with spirituality. So people who are medium, that means that you're speaking with people that have crossed over.
Right.
And this may be extremely biased and I might regret saying it, but you know, the truth is what it is, at least in my world. I would always suggest people, when you're looking for anybody to do your future, to read your cards, to read your tea leaves, in particular those things, you're going to want to use somebody who is also medium.
Okay.
Because, at least in my opinion, because when someone's pulling tarot, they're asking spirit to line it up, right? they're not communicating necessarily with spirit, so they might not be getting that answer.
Right.
But they're lining it up and then they're reading the cards for what the card's definition is.
Right.
When you're doing it with a medium, the medium's going to know what the cards mean, but they're also going to ask spirit to point out different pieces and different triggers that will remind them or that will set off an additional meaning.
Right.
Or spirit will be like, I pulled this and I know it's normally this, this, and that, but in this case, it's this, this, and this.
Right.
And they help you understand and make it more specific to what the person might be asking about, or if it's a general pull. Like if I generally pull 3 tarot cards, I then have to ask spirit, is this about love, career? Because like they all mean different things depending on each topic.
Right, right.
So when they're missing that element, sometimes your readings may not be exactly what you're looking for. And it's not even about accuracy. Like you can only get what you get depending on your ability.
Okay.
And then on top of it, there's lots of people who are fake, because when people come for a reading, 9 times out of 10, they're extremely vulnerable and they're looking for answers in a vulnerable place. And it's very easy to take advantage of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
absolutely. And as I was telling you earlier, I think the thing that really sold me on you was I had a one question to ask one day. And I remember I asked you and you said, you know what? Let me go ask my mom. And I thought, someone who's trying to sell me on, you know, their ability and really sell me is not going to admit that they don't know the answer and they want to go ask their mom. And I so appreciated it. And from that point on, you know, and I love to, I think you even threw in your dad's advice as well, because he was listening in on the conversation.
Oh, this man, I'm telling you, like, he's so funny about it, because like, and I always tell people, like, what I talk about is super confidential. I never give names. Like,
yeah,
the way my mom and I work, we don't need your name. We don't need a picture. We don't need anything. We just ask spirit to tell us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they do. And yeah, there's, cause that's the thing. When I give somebody a reading and they can say, yes, I totally know what you're talking about, that makes sense, I'm getting that validation back and forth. Or they can say, no, I have no idea what you're talking about. And then I say, how am I misinterpreting this message? I explain what I'm getting and we work through it together. It is a team thing.
Right.
I also say too, if you're working with somebody who's not like, nope, 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 and their foot's really heavy down, they're not open.
Yeah.
To remember, like they're not remembering that they're human.
Right.
Right. Right. Where I'm somebody who is getting messages, but it's filtering through a human being. I'm not a god. So it's not going to be perfect. They actually say that readings that are 70% accurate or greater is a fantastic reading, because 30% is open to misinterpretation of messages. Like, you know, what I see an arrow to be might be distance for me, but might be time for somebody else. So there's that misinterpretation. And the fact that I'm a human being with conscious thoughts, and that can filter in sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
You do your best to not let it happen. And I tell all my clients that, and I'm very humble about it. So when your question, there was like, I had to answer it, but you didn't know the answer per se, so you couldn't fully validate.
Right.
So what I do is I get my answers, I kind of jot them down either literally on paper or in my head, and then I ask my mom, and if our answers line up or are very similar, then I say, this is what she got, this is what I got, do with it what you will. And if we're both super off, then we either meditate on it together or we reach out to somebody else that we know and say, what did you get about this? Because we got, like, you know,
yeah.
And we always ask first and then give our answers later, because we don't like to influence each other's thought process.
Right. Well, I love it. It's a 2-for-1 deal.
Absolutely. Really? Oh, and I will say, for those who are looking to do numerology, astrology, or palm reading,
right,
those are the ones that you don't need mediumship ability. Your palms will tell you what they tell you. It's just memorizing the lines or looking it up and spending the time doing the research. Numerology is the same thing. It's set in stone. Your numbers are your numbers, and how that correlates with your life is that. And astrology is astrology. So
fascinating.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. That's so great. And so when we're talking about the different kind of, I'm saying services, I don't know what you would call it. How do you,
I would say services.
Services. Okay. What do you offer? Like, do you call it, if you're connecting with someone who's passed as a medium, do you call that channeling, or is channeling, Does that mean something?
Channeling is a good word for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Channeling just means like you're going through the other side. You're creating a channel. You're creating a portal, a path.
Connection.
And yeah, connection. Yeah. And I always say it's a little bit different for me because I was born with the gift and I didn't have to be taught it in a sense of like I wasn't working with a mentor. Like it was just like a family thing.
Right.
Even my mom will say, she's like, I don't know any of this terminology. I just know how to talk to dead people and it comes out of my mouth. And it was the same for me. When I started actually trying to hone in on it, people would be like, what can you tell me? I'm like, blah, 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 blah. And they're like, holy crap, that's right. I'm like, is it? And I'm shocking myself because it almost feels like you're making it up.
Right.
So sometimes and I tell people all the time, sometimes I don't know what the proper terminology is and I'm okay with that because it doesn't necessarily affect what I'm doing. But
right.
Yeah, when I channel spirit, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm just asking to open up a portal between myself and them or like a channel so that we can communicate and get the answers that we're seeking.
Okay. And then when we talk about spirit, so this is something, it's a term that I hear all the time. Like I'm connecting with spirit. I'm going to speak with spirit. Mm-hmm. But then, so in my mind, if I sat down, you know, in front of you and I said, I want a reading and I'm hoping in my mind that I'm connecting with a specific individual who's passed.
Yep.
When you talk about spirit, you're not necessarily referring to that specific person, are you? Like you, I know in our work together, you've referred to your own guides.
Yep.
You've referred to my guides. You've referred to angels. You've referred to specific individuals who've passed. Like how would you kind of explain all of those different options? Options right. is the wrong word, but yeah.
Options. Yeah. Fair enough.
Okay.
That's what they are.
Okay.
They might not like that, but it's the truth.
Okay.
When it comes to, yeah, when people say like I'm channeling spirit, it's because we're literally saying any positive or good spirit, because I don't take in anything negative, but any positive or good energy, entity, guide, spirit, vibration that can provide me answers is welcome to answer.
Okay.
So sometimes I know it's coming from my guide. Sometimes I know it's coming from yours or I can figure it out. And other times I don't even ask who's telling me. I just wait for the download to come and I spit it out, or the download is like the information.
Right. Right.
So 9 times out of 10, when I'm doing a reading, if I haven't specifically told you who's telling it to me, I actually haven't asked.
Right. And that, I guess that's interesting because some people, I would say that 15 years ago, for example, I would have probably gone in wanting very specific details just so that you could convince me that you were talking to my grandmother, right? Like I had one person in mind. And the approach is a little different when you say, you know, I'll do a reading with you, Stacey, but come with a question or two that you want answered. And then you're not telling me who that's coming from. I could walk away from that saying, well, she's, you know, I don't know if she's real or not, because she didn't even mention my grandmother. You know 100%. What I mean?
Right. And there are some clients that come in who are like, I'm like, do you have any questions? They're like, yeah, I just want to connect with loved ones that have crossed over. I'm like, sweet. And then I go right into, okay, this is the first person I'm pulling. It's like, for an example, I'll be like, it's a feminine energy and they're standing on your mom's side of the family. Right now they're putting themselves in the grandparent position and they're not moving. So I'm going to say it's your mom's mom, or like
right.
the female energy on that side. But I'm like, if they're moving up a level, then it's your mom's mom. Like it's your great grandmother. And I work through it that way. And then I just say, does that make sense? Yes or no. And
okay.
they just say yes or no back. And I tell people, like, when I'm doing the whole, is this your grandmother? Please don't say yes. And her name was Bethany and she died in a car accident when
right.
I was 7 and she gave me a pony. And what else can you tell me about her? And I'm like, absolutely nothing, because you gave it to me. So I'm like, please just stick with yes and no. And then I will give them messages and all I say is, does that make sense? Yes or no? If they say yes, I continue forward. And then when I'm done giving what I need to give, then I say, if you want to explain anything, feel free to fill me in. If not, we can carry forward. Usually that's when people want to explain like how the connections were made for them.
Right.
And other times they're like, nope, cool. And I'm like, okay, you know, like spirits keep secrets. So they give it to me in a certain way. And what a lot of people misinterpret too is when your loved ones come, A, they need permission to come.
Right.
They don't just get to pop up whenever they feel like it. So certain souls are not allowed to come because they weren't given permission. certain, like everyone on the other side also comes with like jobs and things they need to do. And I don't get too heavy into that because whenever I ask my guide, he's like, your mind will get way too wrapped up in this and you won't be able to function. It's like, you know, my higher self stopping me or my guide stopping me. So I just know that they have jobs and I don't pry about what that is, because I think some of it goes into different dimensions or universes and that stuff freaks me out. So
okay,
I leave that for the more enlightened people. There's a level that I like to stop at.
Okay.
But yeah, so sometimes they're busy with their jobs. And then when they do come, they come with a list of things they're allowed to discuss. So if you're sitting there in your head being like, say red rabbit, say red rabbit, say red rabbit, your spirit is never going to say red rabbit. But what might happen is I might pick up on that on like a telepathic sort of wave and be like, what's with the rabbits, the red rabbits? And then
and
you're
picking
think
that up from me, probably.
Yes. And you're thinking that you're being validated through spirit. And I'm like, well, you're technically not. You're just shouting it in your brain enough that I'm hearing you. It's the right. same thing. If you practice with a friend back and forth long enough and you guys are picking like a color, like think of a color, I'll think of one too, you'll start to get on the same rhythm over and over, because everyone can be telepathic in that sense too. It's not reading someone's mind, but if you're sending a direct message, you can receive.
So interesting. I know I keep using the same words, but okay, we'll come back to that probably at the end, because I'd like to talk about that some more. But okay, and so my other question then is just, you know, for the organization of the spirit world, if we want to say it that way, you know, when you talk about how you have a guide and I have a guide, who exactly is that guide? And what, you know, are you able to kind of break down?
Yeah. So this is, again, everything I say in this entire podcast is the way that I've understood how it works on the other side based upon my downloads and intuition, the readings that I've done, the other spiritual people that I connect with. Some people have very, very different opinions, and there is no way to know who is right and who is wrong.
Of course.
So I always say, take everything with a grain of salt and go with what feels good in your body, because that's what matters.
Right.
But yeah, so the way I've been told is guides are souls that have lived through all of their lives. So we keep reincarnating and coming back until we've had enough soul growth. We learned all of our lessons and we're good. I believe in numerology, it's number 9. That's my mom's gig. I don't do numerology at all, so I could be super wrong. But there's eventually you hit a number and that's your last life. Like, you know, you're done.
Okay.
So when you're done your lives, that's when you completely cross over. And then my knowledge there is you can become a guide, you can become an angel, or you can be shipped off to do a different job somewhere else. And that's, again, where I don't go too deep into it.
Okay.
So your guides are like all like their souls that have completed everything.
Right.
And you pick your guide based upon what lessons you're going to need in your life and how they can support that. So when guides come to me, they often tell me I am their main guide, their guide from birth to death, because they need to learn X, Y, and Z, and I'm able to support that.
Right.
I find that most main guides, the ones that are with you from death to birth, because you'll have temporary guides that come in for certain big situations, but I find that your main guides usually don't have a soul connection to you. It's not a soulmate. It's not a soul tie. It's not a twin flame. It's not somebody from your past. It's like a totally different being. Yeah.
Right.
Sometimes you can be connected, but most times from my experience and how I've read people, they always say, no, I don't know them outside of this life.
Right. Right. Okay. I love that, because I remember you talking about that specifically with me once. And since you have, I kind of feel like I have this guy hanging around all the time now. And it is, so awesome. It's a neat way of thinking. It doesn't freak me out in any way. I actually really like it, but
I'm glad it's comforting. Because I think it's comforting too.
It really is. It really is. And okay. And then when you talk about angels, or when people talk about angels, actually, I'm trying to think if you've actually referred to angels before. I can't remember often. If you have. Yeah, no. And I know that I've worked with other people who have heavily spoken to that. So what's your take on that whole situation?
So I believe that everyone has a few people that surround them. So you're going to have your main guide, your temporary guides for that time. You're going to have your angels, and you're going to have possibly some loved ones. And when it comes to your angels, like they have their own role in supporting certain aspects of your life. They're really big on keeping you safe and preventing you from accidents. And they have, yeah, they have a very specific role. Now, what I find is whenever I try to channel an angel, I get jack. I get nothing. And I don't know what their beef is with me, or if it's just not like, I don't do it often unless someone specifically says, can you try to talk to one of my angels? I'm like, sure, I can give it a shot. But yeah, like I don't get too much out of them. Now, what's really funny though, is I'll often get names of angels or like letters. And I, to be frank, I don't know. Outside of Archangel Michael, because you know that's my homie, I use right. him a lot.
Yeah,
like he's my BFF. He might not feel the same, but that's fine. But yeah, so outside of him, I don't really know the angels well, and I don't know their history, and that is something that I have been putting a lot of time and effort and research into, because it's important in my spiritual growth and in my business growth. And the stronger I get in every aspect of mediumship and spirituality, obviously, the better my readings become.
And that's what I was going to ask you as well. It sounds to me that that just might be something that you haven't yet, you know, developed yet.
Yeah, I haven't grown right. fully in.
Right.
Like, I'm sure that they, like, I can pick out names and stuff and I'll say, hey, this sounds like the name. And then I look it up and it's an angel. So I'm like, sweet, that's accurate. But yeah, so trying to connect with angels is something that I'm on a new wave of right now.
Right.
I wanted to master connecting with guides really well. And I always say, like, my mom will admit this too. She's like, my mom is way better at connecting with loved ones and she struggles with guides, and I'm vice versa. I can get your guide like it's nobody's business, but loved ones, it takes a little bit more pull for me. And I'm a little bit slower at it. So we all have different strengths and different spirits that come through stronger. And to that, I don't know why, but again, I'm a human being, so I do my best.
I love it. I love it. No, it's so great. Okay. And I guess the other question I've got is, mm-hmm. you've talked before about how you offer courses, and you and I have talked about this a little bit as well. And I know that it's trendy right now, right? And it probably has been for a while, but it is very trendy for people to see how they can tap into their own intuition and whatnot. And as you've told me before, you know, you can kind of develop on that on your own. You don't need to take a course necessarily to Absolutely. Do it. However, it's awfully helpful when there's someone like you that answers questions like this, as you're doing for me right now. So what is the course that you offer? And yeah.
Yeah. So I am my course. I always said I would never do a course. And then I had lots and lots and lots and lots of people ask me to please run a course.
Right.
So I finally said, sure. But I was like, I need to learn something. So prior to my course, I didn't know about the clairs. I had no idea.
Right.
So I had to teach myself so I could teach others, because if you're not born with this innate gift right away, I'm like, I don't know how to help you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I took some time to learn and I developed a 4-week course. It used to be meeting twice a week, but I find that's really hard for people in their schedules. So now we meet once a week for 2 hours. So the beginning of the course, they're always live with me. They're virtual, but I am physically there and present and teaching the entire time.
Right.
So the beginning of the course, we'll start off with content, things you need to know. For some people, it's common knowledge. For others, it's brand new information. So I always tell people too, if you're on the more advanced side, the first class might be slightly boring. But we go through content and then we have homework, and I've created meditations that I send off to people and they listen to my meditations and it's part of their growth. And then in the following weeks, again, there's some content and then there is some practicing. So we work as a group together and we read each other. And because I'm there live and supporting you, I can show you like how to differentiate between your thoughts and what spirit's saying. And when I can see you're struggling, like I can ask spirit, like, what are they getting tripped up on? And then I can say, hey, are you getting stuck on this? And I'm like channeling them and their spirits as they're trying to channel spirits.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's super intense. And a lot of people ask like, oh, cause I won't lie. My course is on the more expensive side. It's definitely an investment and it's for people that really want to be able to open themselves up.
Right.
But it is that way because it does take as much effort out of me as doing a reading.
Oh, I can imagine.
Because I'm constantly on top of the teaching. Now I'm reading you at the same time as well as everybody else in the course, which is also why I cap it maximum at 10 people.
Right.
Because I want it to be individualized. I want to support you. I tell all of my people who take my course during that 4 weeks, you can hit me up night and day with any questions that you have. I'm here to support you. So if you're taking it really serious and you're doing your homework every day and you're wanting to learn to read other people, like, I'm totally there for you. And even afterwards, we become like a little bit of a family. And, you know, if you have any questions in the future, just reach out and I'm happy to help.
Got it. Got it.
So, yeah.
Oh, I think that's great. And so what would you recommend aside from your course? How can people work to kind of develop or practice just their simply intuition? Forget about reading other people. Just, you know, because I know that I struggle a lot. I absolutely believe that I am very open to signs. I'm very open to kind of trusting my gut. But yep. I know that fear is the big one. Fear gets in the way of so many of, you know, so many times I'm trying to listen to that voice in my head. Yes. And, you know, I don't know how to differentiate what is that voice or what is fear, you right. know? So how do you work on that? How would you recommend working on that, I guess?
I think the best thing I would say is on top of like literature, like find certain books, you can go to chapters, you can look online, see what calls to you too, and read about it. And that's right. the thing. Like I have tons of books. I have read some and been like, I don't resonate with that. I think that's a bit of baloney. I think that's in there because it sounds interesting. Like you can kind of siphon through the crap.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was pretty blunt, but it is.
No.
So picking like, you know, and that's the thing. When you go to the store, just say like, Spirit, help me pick what I need. Right. And take a minute, browse the book and see if you're like, wow, this is absolutely nothing I need. What the hell, intuition? Then, you know, your intuition's off.
Right.
But if you're like, ooh, I do connect with this, then you're like, that's step number one. Like you're listening to your gut. The second thing I would suggest is this is really good for people who have like TikToks or you probably find it on YouTube too.
Yeah.
There's little intuition tests where it's like, what color is under the cup?
Right.
Or it's black and white. And what color is the candle or which one's the red candle? Like there's tons of videos like that. And people always say, go with your first answer, go with your gut. That's not always the case. My first right. answer is always wrong. My first answer is always my conscious brain. And my second answer is always spirit because I don't take the time to slow down my thoughts.
That. I'm so glad you said that mm-hmm. because I know that you tested me once and I was like, I got them all wrong. And then I tried the TikTok thing and I thought these are garbage. Like, what are these people? But then I realized, no, all it is someone coming up with different ideas on how to test you. That's helpful, yeah. actually. Yeah. So I don't have to think up all those ideas on my own.
Exactly.
But I think it's the same thing is that my very first guess, that gut, that's what trips me up because I kind of go back to that rule and I end up changing my gut to go back to my first answer because mm-hmm. I think that that's the right thing to do. And that's where I kind of let I don't know, for lack of a better word, yeah. ego helps me to kind of separate it. And that's where I get it wrong every time. So I'm trying to figure yes. out
where your intuition sits.
Yeah. I still haven't figured it out.
Yeah. I really dislike when people are like, go with your initial instinct. It's always right. And I said, no, your initial instinct is for people who have anxiety, your initial instinct is usually anxiety. Your anxiety will usually be louder than your spirits.
Right.
Because it's your own negative energy that you're sitting in. And right. you own it. And then for other people, though, it really is their very first thought. So it's practicing that and seeing where you sit in it. And then once you're like comfortable, you'll start to notice a difference. You'll notice a difference between one thought being you and one thought not feeling like it belongs to you. And then when you're making bigger life decisions, you should be able to identify, well, this thought definitely belongs to me. And this thought was way too random. That probably belongs to an external entity. I just always remind you when you're using your intuition, make sure you're protecting yourself. And you can look up prayer protections on Google. You can wrap your head in black for protection. You can light a white candle and ask for protection prayer. You can sage. There's crystals, lots of things you can do for protection.
Okay. Okay.
But when you're trying to practice and you're trying to work with spirit, if you don't protect yourself, you are asking anything to come in.
Got it.
And okay. We don't want that.
Okay. Oh my gosh, I feel like I'm learning a lot.
Don't become like a human Ouija board.
Gosh. And you know, it's funny, I've got Owen running around today, my son, wearing a sweatshirt that is a Ouija board. That's okay, right? Is that okay? Please don't tell me I'm opening him up to spirit, bad spirit.
I will be honest. There's lots of people that will say even saying the word demon in your house will bring them in. I just said it in my house, and you know, if they come, so be it. I'll just tell them to go away.
Right.
And please, everyone, empower yourself with this. Yes, it's fine to put salt at your door. It's fine to do any like witchcraft to keep away demonic energy. It is fine to get people to cleanse your space or to sage. But to be 100% frank, light always beats dark. That is right. Always been the case and will forever be the case, which is why in a black room, if a touch of light comes in, you'll see it. But in a bright lit room, a touch of dark won't even be noticed.
Right.
So I always remind
people. Good point.
All you have to do is tell it to, I don't know if I'm allowed to swear, so F off.
Yeah, please, go ahead.
Yeah, just tell it to fuck right off. And I'm going to be real with you. I had a dream recently and there was a straight up, I was like, oh, that is a demon. That is a demon if I've ever seen one. And it shot me up out of my sleep and I ended up injuring myself. Like I pulled out my neck and shoulder doing it. And wow. I was like, you like son of a bitch. I'm not playing this game. So I closed my eyes and I was like, Archangel Michael, bring me your sword. Let it be with the white light. And I'm going to just dream with my sword. And what's really cool is when you get really into your spirituality, you just lucid dream.
Right.
Like, or you can be, I have very conscious thoughts while I dream. So I can be like, oh, where's my sword? Just pull it out.
Wow.
So I, you know, I'm doing my dream and then this female demon popped up again. I just pulled out my sword and I stabbed her. And everyone tried to talk to me. I was like, nope, but I just stabbed her. And I was like, you can keep trying. Like, I'm going to keep stabbing you. And then I was like, you can go away. Now, some people in the spiritual world that I'm connected to, whoa, haha, sorry, something. Remember how I said if I see somebody?
Yeah.
Oh, that scared me. That's fine. You can fuck off. I don't know what I just welcomed in here, but that scared the crap out of me.
Victoria, are you kidding me right now?
No, I'm not. I literally am like tripping, but that's okay because I'm fine. Yeah, I'll just keep stabbing you. Like, it's really not a big deal, guys. Like, you're not welcome, so you don't get to stay. And that's all you do. And
she
came into three of my dreams, and after the third one, she left. And somebody told me that they actually think she had a message and she could have been a shapeshifter. And I said, well, I'm not here to figure that one out, so don't come with demonic eyes if you're not a demon, you know?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, now you're freaking me out. Oh, now I'm a little bit nervous. I know I'm safe.
No, you're safe. Oh,
okay, I'm worried about you. Okay.
Oh, no. Don't worry about me. We're definitely safe on this end.
Oh, my gosh.
White light protection.
You know, I think I have to practice that just as it, because I will say I live in a lot of fear often, which is crazy, but I'm one of those in the middle of the night when it gets dark, it's not even ghost spirits that I'm worried about. It's just like natural, you know, bad things that can happen, but I've got to learn how to, I probably meditate and kind of visualize more of that light, you know?
I will be very honest with you. I still run up the stairs when the lights are off. Like I won't. There's not a chance. Like I'm not looking back. I don't want to know. And like probably after this, I'm going to be scared shitless and I'm going to call my mom and be like, make sure nothing's in my house. And that's fine because that's how negative energy works, right? They're literally fear. That is what negative energy is. So I just have to remind myself, like, if I'm not afraid of it, it can't work. So it's just that reassurance, but don't think that I'm super brave all the time. No, I can be brave.
Okay. I guess the last thing I kind of want to talk to you about really quick is just what are the other services that you offer? So we talked about, I'll let you just kind of go into a spiel.
So I have a few different things. So I do my full readings, which is like an hour long, and that can be anything under the sun that you're looking for in regards to mediumship cards. I can use my dowsing rods for those who don't know what it is. They're rods that people used to use to find water back in the day because it's supposed to sense energy. Well, spirit is energy, so you can work with it the same way.
Right.
And then I do like 3-question or individual question readings. And those are for people that have a few things on their mind. I say that I don't include spirit in that one because a 1-question with spirit can take me almost a full hour to do. And they kind of replaced my mini sessions that were 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So if you have 3 questions about like what's going on with love and what do I need to know about work and, am I going to buy this house? Like, I can go through those ones and then I send you all of your information, or we can do it over the phone depending on if you get a slot or not.
Right.
And then I also offer past life regression sessions. So I became obsessed with past life readings, and I think it's better for people to do their own meditation into a past life, see it for themselves. Because I'm medium, while they're in there, I'm asking spirit at the same time, what are they missing? How do I need to prompt them? What are they not connecting with? And I work alongside them. So if I see that they're struggling and spirit's like, ugh, they're missing this because they're working with their higher self, I reprompt them back to where they should be.
Right.
And then I compare my notes to what they saw at the end, and we talk about what they experienced. Because if you sit down with somebody and like, let me tell you your whole past life, like, I literally could make that up. I would never, because I have integrity and I can do that. But there are lots of people that would, and I don't like to leave that open to, you know, being interpreted as wrong or that I'm misleading people. So I do it this way so that they get to experience it, and then I get to tap in as well at the same time and offer that extra part of the service.
Right. And I have to say too, for any listeners, if you're not a reader of our blog at the Willow Jack site, it's worth going on to it to read. My cousin Michelle actually wrote a piece about her experience with you in a past life regression. Mm-hmm. And she, I don't know if she got into great detail. I don't know if I'm mixing up my conversation with her versus what she wrote.
Fair.
But it was pretty profound. And she did tell me a lot about how you kind of shadowed is the wrong word, but you were at her side through the whole experience. And it's something that I didn't realize that you did do, and it's not something that I've ever thought of before doing myself. After hearing Michelle's, I'm a bit afraid of it, to be honest.
fair enough. It's but I always say your higher self also will only take you, because I say I'm taking you to your higher self is going to take you to the past life that's going to be most important for you to know or for you to experience,
right?
And when we get there, I always say your higher self will only show you and give you what you can handle. So right. I have some people that can go and see how they died, and I have some people who are like, yeah, that's not happening at all. We're not ready for that.
Right. Right.
And I tell people too, like, the more you do it, the more lives you can see. Or if you're going to the same life, the more in-depth detail you get. It's like, it's almost like that permission thing again. So each time you go in, you get like a different level of permission. And then sometimes I have clients that I'm trying to keep them in one past life and they want to bounce between different ones. And I'm like, okay, we're bouncing. And we look at three different lives instead of doing three memorable moments in one specific life. So I really roll with what their higher self is telling me that they need.
Right. And mm-hmm. I think where my anxiety, for lack of a better word, comes up for it is because before hearing about Michelle's experience with you, I think I always kind of thought of it as this, I don't know. It's kind of like I had to have believed in reincarnation in order to believe that there, and I never really did before, but now in the last couple of years where I've explored kind of the idea of, again, for lack of a better word, spirituality mm-hmm. and understanding, you know, your higher self and the different levels of learning and enlightenment that you've, or what enlightenment is and what you're trying to kind of reach to or aspire to. Mm-hmm. Now that I have that knowledge, I understand the benefit of, you know, understanding what a past life might be. I don't want to know out of curiosity, but I do want to know to kind of say, have I learned from that? Like, am I repeating, am I going through this life in order to, anyway, so maybe when I become, if I fall into some money, I'm going to book you for that session. Cause I'm curious about it. Cause I often wonder about what got me here. Like, I have a very unique life, I would say. And you have spoke to it a little bit with me before about what my guide kind of said about how I got here and how I chose it.
Right.
And I wonder if I would see that in a past life regression, if, or would I not, like, would I come to the same understanding or not? Right. I don't know.
Yeah. That's the cool thing about past life is often I'll say, like, we're looking for things that we haven't let go of that we're maybe not learning from. And then we're looking for answers to where our like soul evolution has been. And I also often try to look for souls in this life, in the past.
Right.
So I'll be like, who do you recognize in this life? And you tell me all the people you see. And I say, do any of them seem like somebody from your present life?
Right.
And like, and all of a sudden some people, like the faces will shift into the person it is. And we're like, I don't know, but for some reason I think it's this person. And I'm like, always go, like, that's when you listen to your gut. Cause that's right. Your higher self telling you. But yeah, I do my best, because when I did my past life regression sessions, and I first got into it, I was obsessed with the fact that all these answers came up that I would have never thought in a million years would have correlated or connected.
Right.
And I remember I saw it was a client that I had read once ever, was in one of my past lives. And it was several months after I read her. And I was like, holy, like, I would have never known that there was a soul connection there. Like, I even missed it when I did their reading.
Wow.
But they had a significant role in one of my past lives. And I'm like, that's super strange. And I ended up doing two passive regressions in the same life. And she was there again. So I knew it was definitely her.
But so interesting. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so interesting. And I guess I didn't plan on talking about this, but I will bring it up. I've heard different psychics say that they will never, ever, ever accept a booking, for example, if someone's booking on behalf of someone else, because they want to, A, ensure that there's permission given for you to, you know, access. Mm-hmm. But also just, I guess, the idea that it's an infringement on privacy and whatever. But you and I talked before about my kids, for example. Mm-hmm. So having children who are unable to communicate verbally their feelings or thoughts, I feel so desperate, and which puts me, you know, in a very vulnerable place. Yeah. Because I don't want to be taken advantage of by people, obviously. But I am so desperate sometimes to know. And one of the big questions that I've always had about one of my boys is, I don't know if he is, because he's 100% nonverbal and apraxic. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if he is, you know, a 19-year-old trapped in a body that can't communicate, or is he also intellectually disabled and doesn't have that understanding anyway? Does he have the mind of a younger person, right?
I got the answer for that. I don't know if you want to know right now or if I can tell you this later, but that hit me like a ton of bricks.
Can you tell me? Go ahead.
Yeah. It was funny because you have a male guide, right? We spoke of him.
Yes.
Does he have dark hair?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. I just want to make sure it was the right person, because they said it was your guide, but I'm like, I read so many guides. He stepped forward, and as you were saying, like, is he a 19-year-old trapped in a 19-year-old body? He went, no, he's six. And he goes, well, specifically 6 and a half. He's like, that's where his mental state stays. And then he said, just follow the patterns of interest and that will help you understand. And then also said, he's not looking for romantic love. So you don't have to worry about that. He doesn't think there's no connection of missing that.
Holy smokes, Victoria.
I don't know if you worried about that, but that was a big thing he keeps saying, is he's not connecting that he wants like a wife or a partner. He loves his family. Like, that to him is love. So he feels fulfilled that way.
You have a gift. You have a gift.
And the last thing is, does he really like cheese crackers?
Yes.
He just keeps saying like that with like little Cheez-Its or something. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do. Yeah, goldfish crackers.
Oh, goldfish. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He just said, like, for the validation piece at the end, I guess, for you, for the listeners.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, also just mentioned that, like, he really likes the cheese crackers. Like, that's an obsession thing.
Oh my gosh.
It was just for validation.
Okay. But I've got a question. I know I'm not trying to take advantage and put you into a reading. But I've got the two boys, and there's so much overlap, because right there, now that we get into cheese crackers, I'm like, I'm going to walk away from this conversation and then be worried that maybe he's giving a message for Will and not Owen, because it can be one or the other. I just don't know.
No, that one was for Owen.
It was older
than Owen mentally.
that's what I've always felt, but mm-hmm. I've never, it's a hard thing.
I would say, sorry, Will is more between like 14 to 16.
That feels right.
Will sees relationships and would want to connect with other people in that regard, like on a romantic sort of level. Might not understand how to fully handle that scenario, but can see like romance and stuff on TV and make a connection that that's something that he would enjoy.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Whew. Okay. Well, you just answered my question because it wasn't about that specifically, but I did wonder, should or could I seek out kind of that request? And I have done that in the past. I will say mm-hmm. I did speak to someone else once before about the boys, and it was very accurate. I have to say very accurate. And it was more, I received more of a kind of reading of who they are.
Yes.
That was accurate, but you just answered a very specific question for me. And it's, but it's bothered me my whole life because yeah. I often think, am I shortchanged? You know, because there was a time when I used to speak to Owen as if he was his actual age. And while I was doing it, I just didn't feel that it was right. I just kept, while I was looking into his eyes, I thought, I don't think that he is here. I don't think yeah. he's at that intellectual level. So to hear that, that resonates as mm-hmm. that's right. Okay. Oh my gosh, Victoria, thank you.
No problem. And when it comes to permission about stuff like that, I always tell people, like some people ask you, like, what does this person think of me? Or, you know, does this person hate me? Or, and I always say, like, I can only get what spirit will give. So there is a level of privacy. Like, if you're like, because sometimes I can get if people are cheating too. So it really just depends on what spirit is
yeah.
willing to dish. And they have their own rules of privacy.
Right.
And that's when I'll say things like, I don't know. Like they're telling me, like, there's not a chance you're going to get that answered. So we're going to have to move forward or move right. on from it.
Right. Wow. Okay. I'm going to end on that note. Victoria, I have to. Holy smokes.
It's a lot.
I have to. It's a lot. I don't even, my head is swimming right now, to be very honest. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I think that people like you are very special. And I really believe that your gifts, because not only we didn't even really talk about, you know, the level or depth of healing that you provide to people that I know, you know, as I say, I've wanted to connect with people who've passed, but it's really been for interest's sake, because I feel like I've already kind of come to a place of acceptance and I believe that they're there and whatever, but I know there are some people who are just absolutely desperate, you know, or they're desperate to even believe that it's possible. And I think that you really help a lot of people in that way. And I don't know, I feel sorry in many ways for people who don't believe in that, well, you know? You.
And yeah, in a way I do too sometimes, because I just think even in the grand scheme of things, if people yeah. think I'm a really good guesser and this is all fake and when we die, it's just nothing. If that's the case, what's wrong with the faith right now?
I know.
If it's going to be absolutely nothing and this makes you feel good and reduces your anxiety, like, I still will never say that what I'm doing is hurting or harming anybody. Believing yeah. that there are loved ones that are watching us from another side, I don't understand how that could provide any sort of harm.
I agree.
And then with that being said, I also just, I think our world sometimes is a very dark and crummy place.
Yeah.
So having a thought or knowing that when you cross over, you find a legitimate peace, I think that's huge. And I know a lot of people now who were crippled with anxiety by the thought of dying. And now they're not afraid. Not that they're, you know,
right.
willing to die, but they're like, yeah. when I go, I now have peace and knowing that I don't need to be terrified. And let's be real. The last thing you think in your brain shouldn't be, I'm terrified. That would be the worst way to go. Right?
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, I'm a bit sad and sorry that we're not having a part three, because I could do this every week. So thank you. Well, thank Maybe you. Something big will happen. Something, but you've got to learn more about angels. And yes. then we'll come back when you've got all that knowledge.
Yeah.
And we'll do it again. We'll
and
do
I'll
it
say,
again.
If anybody watches this, if this stuff starts to boom and you want a podcast number three, or you want to make this a weekly event, you just DM us and we'll be happy to entertain the seven of you.
We would love it. Exactly. Anyway, if anyone is looking for Victoria, you can be found on Instagram at yes. the Good Witch of the Six, and there are dots between each word, and then the six is a number six, and then IX.
Correct.
Right? All right. That is so me. Look her up. She's a lot of fun. All right.
Thank you.
Victoria, thank you so much. You are great.
Of course.
Great.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Of course. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Have a lovely night.
You too. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Dummy, 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 dum.
This has been a Willowjack podcast, Choose Your Own After, released on November 25th, 2021. Hosted and produced by Stacey Haley, sound effects by William Haley, and edited by Liza McClelland. And a big special thanks to Victoria for joining us once again on today's episode. Make sure to check her out on Instagram at The Good Witch of the Six. And if you like what you're hearing, remember to rate, comment, and subscribe. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Oh, yeah.